This message comes from Capital One Commercial Bank. Your business requires commercial banking solutions that prioritize your long-term success. With Capital One, get a full suite of financial products and services tailored to meet your needs today and goals for tomorrow. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
This is the Songwriter Connection, the award-winning elite music podcast of the year, connecting the songs and the people who write them. Welcome, songwriters, friends of the song, and fans of great music. Pull up a chair around the dining room table. From his home in Nashville, Tennessee, here's your host, songwriter and storyteller, Dave Linehan.
Yay! It's Allie Day!
It's Allie Day!
She's back! Allie Colleen! That's, and I like on your Instagram, it's like Jolene with a C.
Yes.
Named after your grandma, right?
Exactly. She was Colleen Carroll. And so I respect all the Colleens out there, but we're just not, we're not one of them. We're Colleens.
You've got a new song out. I'm going to play a little bit of it, okay? This is cool
so
song.
So cool. So cool.
And it's a great story.
Don't know how we got here, like something on the wind. Perfume trail, leather, let it go. Nude in the moonlight, veins full of moonshine, wrapped in cotton calico. There's something unfamiliar in the taste on your lips, the lining is silver. You got me chasing it back in the saddle.
Girl, that has got a vibe, man.
It's so cool, isn't it?
It is such a neat song.
Coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, is it really? Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like a whole new Allie back in the saddle.
I love it so much. We had a, you know, a song come out a couple years ago called Tattoos.
Yes.
And the sonically it was so different than anything we'd done before. So I put on the artwork, I put my producers just as much responsible for it as I was. So it was me and Prod by Dom. And Dom and I did Back in the Saddle together. So okay. It's like that's kind of where Dom's sound kind of comes in. Is
he
that
wrote
kind
on
of
that
electric
too, a
thing?
Bit, didn't he?
He's not a writer. He's not, nope. Oh, yeah. He wrote. He was in the room with us that day. Okay. He wrote track wise. And then okay. My little brother was also in the room with us that day. And
oh, yeah.
He put a lot of the melody together. And then I carried cool. a lot of the lyrics with my brother Lane. So that was cool.
You were doing something so cool on your socials promoting this. You were trying to get PBR to comment.
Right, we're trying to get a song called Bucket that's going to come out at the end of July for PBR.
Oh, it's a different song.
Yeah, it's a totally different song. Uh-huh. But still in that Western vein of like kind of sonically weird and all Western narrative kind of thing. So Back in the Saddle, you know, is out and it's our single that we kind of been pushing for a while now. But we got PBR to comment technically on day 8.
On day 8?
But I lost day 8. Like I had edited them all pretty early and I was posting from the road and I couldn't find day 8 on my thing anywhere, and I already had the text saved over the videos, you know what I mean? So day 9 posted on day 8, and that was the one that we got our comment on. So
what'd they say?
They just said, I think they said, hell yeah, we love your tune, or something, you know what I mean, kind of thing. I said, cool, and that's all we wanted. We wanted some recognition, and we've had some music directors reach out to us to just like put the song on playlists and stuff like that, but now we're that's headed great. Off to the next PRCA event now.
Awesome.
Kind of thing. So we're just trying to get the next PRCA event. So I think tomorrow will probably start, you know, day one of who knows what. But
do you do a lot of those?
We've been really trying to. You know, we were really, really lucky. I want to say it was 2021. We got to play the PBR World Finals in Vegas. We got to play the dirt in T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. And we actually launched, it was our first live show with Halos and Horns, which if you remember, Halos and Horns was my first little million streams that got us on the Jelly Tour. So
that
was
really
cool.
Last time we were here, and I was working out this morning, listening to our last podcast. And it was exciting times for you because you had just gone off the road with Jelly Roll, singing in the rain.
So crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
Something else.
Yeah.
Now you got some really cool things happening real soon. A trip to Cuba?
A trip to Cuba, perhaps.
This is interesting. I've got to hear this whole story.
So I grew up just being an absolute lover of the men and women of service of our country and always, you know, in country, out of country, all that kind of stuff. And so I talked to a lot of recruiters in high school. I want to go to the Army and I wanted to be a part of that civil service, you know, kind of sacrifice. It's like so rooted in the Christianity roots that I kind of came up with, you know, service was such a privilege to do.
Yeah.
And I grew up in such a privileged family. I felt like my way to give back should probably be extreme, you know, kind of thing. I just really wanted to serve. I have narcolepsy, so I'm pretty useless. I fall asleep all the time, anywhere, everywhere, all the time. So I really couldn't do anything, you know, that I wanted to do, you know, in the military. Yeah. They were just going to give me an office job kind of thing. And I said, well, I feel like, you know, I've always wanted to do music and I am going to do music. And I feel like I could maybe serve our troops differently in that way. So since then, we've been trying to get on like a USO tour or like anything where we can go to these base camps and give these gentlemen and these ladies just a good night. You know what I mean? Despite everything they're going through kind of thing.
I think that's awesome.
And so we did it. We finally did it. You know, we were very lucky enough to get placed with a couple of shows where we met the right people, you know, and started conversations. And they liked our live show enough to be like, no, we really think that you could bring, you know, these soldiers something special. So not only do we get to do it, but we get to go to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba for the 250th anniversary of our freedom. Yes. So we get to celebrate the 250th at the base camp. We do 3 shows that week so that we can make sure everyone has a chance to come to the show, you know, with their different like shift times and like what they're doing. But we're there for 12 days for 3 shows. So all
for
of our
Bev's
off days,
too, right?
Bev's birthday, Bev's an Independence Day baby. So we got a lot to celebrate this year. But on our off days, we're just doing wherever they want to take us, whatever they want to show us, you know, whatever kind of thing. And we are over the moon about
it. I bet. And what kind of preparations you got to do for something like that?
Well,
it's
communist
country as we do this.
You know me, man. Yeah. I'm useless. I just sing and party, so I don't actually have to do that much. But Bev has been swimming in paperwork. Bev's in here with us today, you guys. Shout out to Beverly.
Hi, Bev. Beverly.
But we, so she's had all this stuff to do. But what we all had to do individually as a band, because you get to take my band. So there's like 7 of us going, including Bev.
Wow.
And all of us, two of my bandmates are retired military. So that's fantastic. So they've kind of been used to this, but that's we had to do this whole, you know, anti-terrorism like education thing on like what to do if you're in certain situations or what to look for or how to react when these things happen. And all of it, I thought it was going to be like videos or something. All of it's, you know, just reading. Uh-huh. And so it took us forever. And me with my little sleepy brain, it took me all of probably 3.5 hours to get through the course.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get your little certification from it. But it's just so crazy. And I thought the most interesting thing was a lot of the profiling that they talked about when you look at, you know, people that are trying to commit acts of terrorism. I'm from Oklahoma, you know, and so grew up with a lot of our education being about the Oklahoma City bombing in 95. And I was born in 96, you know, so that wasn't during my lifetime. But, you know, it's so notorious because the first level of that building was a nursery where everyone would take their kids, you know, to go and
so
spend their day before they go up. And so a lot of it was like profiling over McVeigh himself. And I thought of all of the stuff that's happened to our country, we're still learning about this ex-military man who did a malicious thing to us. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Yeah. So it was really, really interesting to go through that and to see so much of our learning was taken from intel within our country, which is crazy to me. But that's what we've been doing for the last couple
that's
weeks.
That's what you've been doing. How about show-wise? How do you prep for a show like this?
Man, I just think about... So I'm pretty ignorant to what their life is like over there at the base camps. I don't know how long they've been there. You know, I don't know if some of them are there for years and they're stationed there forever. And then you have new influxes of younger new soldiers coming in. I have no idea how it works.
My only knowledge was watching what's the Code Red thing? All good. What's it called?
I don't know, but I can
few
see
good
it.
Men.
Yes. Exactly. I don't know anything.
You want me on that wall? You need me on that wall?
I don't know anything. So I'm just thinking it's probably been a long time since they've got to have like a honky-tonk night. You know what I mean? Probably has. So as much original music as we're going to bring, we are going to bring like our favorite covers. You know, like I'm going to do Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus probably 5 times. You know what I mean? Like, so I just want to bring them a night that makes them feel like home. You know, I'm trying to get them as close to home as I can with our set.
Gotcha.
And as much as I want to do, you know, the Toby Keith stuff and like do the America stuff. And I think it's fitting, you know, obviously not only for the 250th, but like for what they're doing. I also think it could be a really cool night of escapism for these people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really need to be rooted so much in the civil service that they're currently doing. They are reminded every single day what they're doing. You know what I mean? And and they don't need a country song to explain to them what they're going through right now, especially with our current political climate, because there's not a lot of patriotism songs right now going on in our political climate. So it just doesn't seem like the time to maybe try and have a voice for them that they, you know, maybe feel whatever about. So we're just trying to bring them a freaking party.
I think that's a great idea.
Just a big celebration, you know?
I commend you for that. That's going to be great. And I hope you're going to have a lot of video of that and you're going to be posting.
Yes. We're going to post as much as we can. You know, I think they have a videographer there that kind of controls obviously what's seen, because we also don't want to put anyone in any kind of jeopardy your situation. Like, I don't know how much these base camps are filmed. I don't know how much of them are common knowledge to the public or like how the layout is. So we're navigating all of it one step at a time because it is for sure a first time for us, you know?
I'm sure there's going to be some kind of an orientation process when you get there.
Yeah.
So hopefully it won't be like boot camp, but
hopefully. Yeah, hopefully they don't make me do anything.
Yeah, I hope not either.
Oh my gosh.
You're in great shape. You keep working out. You're
still scared, though. I'm still a little scared when you think about that.
You and I fine.
What if they make me do cardio? I work out every day, brother. I haven't done cardio in a long time.
Haven't you? Well, you're just doing the weight thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
The fun part.
Yeah. I do the cardio first. I try to get it out of the way.
I commit. I used to. Yeah. I used to be, but the first time you skip it, the next time you're like, we can skip this. Do you know that? You realize we skipped this last week. Why are we doing it this week?
That is the truth.
Yeah, girl. So don't skip it, you guys. If you got cardio worked into your stuff, just keep putting your head down. Because once you skip it once, you'll never do it again.
That's so funny because I tell myself that.
You will.
Skip it once, you're going to do it again.
You'll never do it again.
Absolutely. Ellie, I want to hear you play some songs because we're known for songs around the dining
room
table. Could you play us one?
Yeah, so I got some options for you today, Dave.
Options.
We've got, I'm going to save this one for our second one. Hopefully you let me play two today, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cool. You play as many as you want.
All right.
Cool. Ellie Day.
Cool. I'm going to play Teenage Dirtbag six times.
All right, that's fine.
Right now.
That's fine.
So I was going to play you Back in the Saddle because acoustically it's pretty wonky. So I thought maybe we could show that since you already teased it a little bit, like how different it is acoustically.
I love, that's what I love about this show.
Is that cool? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I love it because you get to hear the songs stripped down the way they were written and, away from the production. And sometimes those are, for me, that's the reason why I go to writer's rounds and things, you know.
So, perfect answer because I have not learned this for a live show since it came out. And
really?
I said, I want to play this for Dave. I've never played it before. So
I'm honored.
So I've got your back today. Let me get my capo out. Really?
Oh, okay.
Quick. I forgot about that.
I usually have one right there on the table for you. My bad.
But it's okay. I forgot today. I got it today.
Good. It's a beautiful guitar. Get a Martin.
Thank you.
The Tobacco Sunburst. I don't see too many of those around.
This is the Road Series.
Road Series.
And her name is Rosanna.
Oh, I love it.
Her name is Rosanna. So we love her.
Mm.
Let me know if we need to do anything sound-wise before
that
I get going.
That sounds really good.
Sound good?
I think you're good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, there's a little Back in the Saddle, you guys. So I want to do kind of a country anthem of, I personally haven't put my big girl boots on yet and tried this myself, but if you're out there and you want to date again for whatever reason in this horrible cesspool of life we have in dating, this one's for you, you guys. We just tried to make it a Western anthem for anyone who's trying to get back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle.
It goes like this. I don't know how we got here, like something on the wind. Perfume trail leather, let it go. Nude in the moonlight, veins full of moonshine. Wrapped in cotton, calico. Something unfamiliar in the taste on your lips. The lining is silver. But you got me chasing it back in the saddle. Talking greener pastures, something little faster. Talking hard to handle. 16 hand devil.
Little faster, talking hard to handle.
Colleen, our guest on Songwriter Connection podcast. She's back in the saddle here. So, you know, I thought there was a deeper meaning behind that song.
Yeah, just a little trying to date again thing, you know, but all about horses. So, you know, I've got a really wide fan base.
Yes, you do.
I've had a couple messages on Instagram of people are like, I love your stuff, but I can't really get behind the satanic stuff. And I thought,
you don't do satanic.
I thought, what could they be talking about? Like, yeah. What did I post that could be so misconstrued? That's whatever. And I was re-listening to Back in the Saddle one day, and I heard 16 Hand Devil. And I said, oh, they don't know that's how you measure horses.
Yeah.
Like, that's a 6'2 bad boy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a 6'2 little punk. You know what I mean? It's like there's nothing bad about it. You measure horses in hands.
Yeah.
And if I was going to equate a man to a horse, he better be over 16 hands. You know what I mean? So just silly kind of stuff like that that's in the...
I'm out.
Hey, I've made exceptions in the past.
Huh? Okay.
Right. So, it's been really interesting on that kind of way, you know, on what people maybe know as a Western narrative and what they don't kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool. Obviously, the branding's on your skin. You know, horses obviously get branded. We get tattoos, those kind of things. So there's a lot of like little...
Like you tattoo? No way.
Just a couple. I dabble in the ink every now and then.
I hear you,
I love Back in the Saddle. I think it's very cool. The idea was, I don't know if it's like... Back in the Saddle on a new horse, or like what it is. And my little brother was like, I think it's just Back in the Saddle, buddy. You can just explain it through the song. I said, okay, cool.
And so that's what you did.
That's what we started with, and I love it so much.
So that was your title to start with, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we came in with that and knew that I wanted to write a dating anthem again, because it's just my personal life hasn't included anything like that in a long time. I don't know that it will, but really wanted to write, you know, kind of a dating again anthem for anyone who's just like, because we released it, I think, before last summer. And I was like, anyone who's going into summer... like this, like let's give them a cool little vibe, you know, to go and back and get
cool
back
vibe.
Into the saddle with. So
it
I love
really
it so
is.
Much.
Yeah. Was that a different approach for you?
Not really. You know, I mean, compared to maybe our stuff in the past, it was maybe a little different. But the last year I've settled into, I don't think that my music is crazy eclectic or anything that like other people have never done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know a lot. So I'm from like the pop punk alternative world, and I don't know of anyone in the pop punk alternative world personally. If you do, let me know, because I want to follow them on everything that does like Western narratives with like pop punk alternative sonic stuff. You know what I mean?
Very cool.
So with that said, you know, I keep going in these writes and writers that I haven't written with before are either trying to go really, really Western and only Western, or they're trying to go really, really alternative. And they're like, why are we singing about a horse? Do you not hear what this song sounds like? I'm like, do you not know who we're writing for today? It's me, buddy. So I've really fallen in love in the last year.
I'm the artist here.
Yeah.
You're writing for me.
I've really fallen in love with the last year of finding track guys that can just really sonically build stuff around what I would, you know, kind of want to say.
So you wrote that top down?
We wrote it top down. We did it 6 hours. We were ready to master.
Are you kidding?
Wow. Top to bottom. We never even lived with it. We wrote it in 6 hours, and like we wrote it like that in 6 hours. Top to bottom.
No rewrites. That was what
no
you
rewrites
said?
At all. Again, we didn't even write it acoustic and then take it to a studio. Like we left with the version that I mastered.
How about that?
And I thought,
was there a line that you would?
I wouldn't change anything about it. And I think that's
fight
crazy.
For it all, right?
Yeah, I think that's crazy. I wouldn't change anything about it. I love it so much. And then just to the experience, you know, getting to write it the way that we did with two people that I love so much. And so this whole next record that we're going into with, I did it with Dom.
Okay.
So Dom and I have done this entire next record
so
together.
So we got more of this to come.
We got a lot more of this to come.
Any idea when you release?
So we just recently put out our first single of the year kind of thing, back in April. Mm-hmm. So it's called Southside. It's super, super fun.
Mm.
Back home, you know, I feel like this is a pretty universal term, but I ran into a couple people who had never heard it before, so I don't like to assume. But back home, I think I have in the past. I've been here so many times. I curse on your podcast, correct?
You cursed on my podcast?
Can I?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, cool. So back home, if you know, you go out and you party a little too hard, you do whatever, maybe you embarrass yourself a little bit. The next day, it's like, man, Rachel really showed her ass last night. You know what I mean? And so we wanted to write a song that was one about going out and partying as a woman and maybe getting a little too embarrassing, whatever your case was, but also wanted to write a song that was about like your South Side, like your ass.
I gotcha.
So we have this song that's called South Side, and it's I'm about to show my South Side.
Oh, isn't that
and
something?
It's like that whole thing, and it's just going out and partying and like drinking too much. My thing is, if you ever catch me on too much whiskey, I'm hunting down a menthol cigarette for no reason. It's gonna make me sick. I'm gonna throw up. I want it so bad. So if you ever catch me asking for a cigarette at a bar, tell me you don't have one. Please tell me you don't have one. I don't need it. It's going to make me sick. I don't smoke at all. But if I've had too much whiskey, I'm all of a sudden like this 80-year-old smoker who's like, I got to find it. Oh, yeah.
Give me that.
Yeah. So Southside kicked off our music for the year. And just probably, you know, maybe the end of this month kind of thing where we're showcasing this new love song called All I Want.
Cool.
That's just a cool little beachy love song. We've got a lot of really cool music coming out going forward, too.
Why don't we do one more then? Can you do one of those songs?
I'm going to do a new one, and it's going to be the last one right now that we have planned for the year.
Okay.
So it's not coming out. It's going to kick out fall for us.
Oh, well.
But I would love to debut it with you today, if that's okay.
I am honored.
Okay, cool.
Yes. Tell us all about it.
I've learned in the past you don't talk about other outlets when you're on outlets, but I'm going to, so forgive me.
I don't
care.
You
know, we get to play the Stormy Warren show a lot. He does Exit 209, and it's this really cool thing. And then at the end of it, he always lets you pick a door. So at the end of it, you get to pick door 1, 2, or 3. And it's usually like door number 1 is like your silliest song you've ever written. Door number 2 is like a song that you've always wanted to, like the whole world to hear maybe.
Yeah.
And then maybe door number 3 is a song that like changed your like career or your life.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, can we do a door number 4? And he goes, I've been running this podcast for a long time. And Allie, you would come on here and try and change it. Like you would come on here and suggest that we do something new. I'm like, I just got an idea. We want to do it. I said, can I play you something that we haven't finished? And he said, what do you mean? I said, artists, we write stuff all day long. And there's so many times where like you just left yesterday with a verse chorus and you're obsessed with it. And you don't even know where it's going to go. Like, can I do that today? And he said, yeah. So we played this once before on the Stormy Warren show, but it wasn't finished yet. It was just the verse chorus. And so I want you to imagine today as we play it, just being left with the verse chorus. But I'm going to play you the whole thing kind of thing.
Sometimes that happens in a writer's room. You write a verse and a chorus, take a break.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to get away from it for a while, don't you?
Well, for me, I've been writing by myself so much, you know,
this
last year, and I write by myself, you know, a lot, and I feel like it was something I got away from for a long time, but this was one that we, you know, I started by myself in my bedroom, and it was really overwhelming for me at the time. You know, I think as you listen, you'll kind of understand. I hope it's pretty and it's packaged and it's beautiful now. But this was one that, you know, sitting in your bedroom, you know, kind of feels like death a little bit.
Mm.
And you're just really trying to get through it. And that was what this one was. And I just love it so much. We've only put out 2 other songs in my whole career that I wrote completely by myself. Because usually they stay in my bedroom for a reason. But this just felt like one that...
You brought us to the writing room and you said, we're going to do this.
I still finished it by myself.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wrote the whole thing by myself, and I loved it so much, but it just didn't seem like one. I think the older I get and the more that I really appreciate the skill set that I have been given amongst the others that I were not given at all, I don't think that you have that privilege anymore as a songwriter. You know, I think if you sat in your bedroom and you wrote a song that saved your life, I don't think you have the privilege of keeping that private. You know? Because if it can save you, I think it can save somebody else. And I think this is just something that a lot of people relate to in a cycle that some people stay in for their entire lives, you know, kind of thing. So this is Embers.
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 Fantastic.
I always said that you're worth living for. Always knew you were the reason I'd walk back through the door every night. You're my life, and I'm losing everything, saying it's for the better, and I don't want to see a day I get better without you. So I need you, promise me you'll cover my skin in gasoline, light a match and bring me to my knees when you leave, and don't you dare turn back round till the embers are out.
Whoa.
Have you ever watched someone fall out of love? Seen desire in their eyes turn into rust the way yours do? When I look at you, I've never hated myself more than when you turn away. And every good intention I've had stuck on replay in my mind. Why can't I get it right? Promise me you'll cover my skin in gasoline. Light a match and bring me to my knees when you leave. And don't you dare turn back around. Promise me, show me no mercy. Cover my skin in gasoline. Light a match and bring me to my knees when you leave. And don't you dare turn back around till the embers are out.
Oh man, wow. That's a hard hitting song. Yes, thank you, Bev, for the... yeah, I'm not crazy. My allergies are really bad. Extremely bad. That's why my voice is so...
My allergies are really bad when I wrote it, too.
Dang. Man, that came from a deep, dark place, didn't it?
Yeah, this is, you know, that's one of those places where you just... There's nowhere left to go but to be honest with yourself, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I, you know, musicians and songwriters and writers and all this stuff, you know, we have this really, really bad, in my opinion, it's this really bad habit. It's what drives us and what makes us be who we are, and I think it's fantastic. But as I'm getting older, I'm getting really frustrated with it. We have this really horrible habit of just romanticizing the worst things that have happened to us. Why, you know what I mean?
Is and that the creative mind, or is that just all humans?
I don't know what that is, but I wish I would spend as much time leaving as I do sitting here and romanticizing these horrible things that people in my life do to me, whether they're my friends or partners or whatever the case is. And we all do that. You know, we sit there and when you get together with your friends after your divorce, they look at you from across the table and they go, you want to write about it? I'm like, no, I think I want to burn all the stuff in my house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think I want to write about it.
Right.
You know? But then you do. Yeah. You know, and then you have
at least
this,
that one is real fresh, you know. Yeah. Don't you? Yeah.
And you have this little process. Beautiful thing to give somebody else who doesn't have that part, you know, like that skill set in their brain to sit there and write this really beautiful 3-minute self-process thing, you know. So I think it's obviously what makes us and the point of songwriting, but there's a lot of times in my life where I'm like, I wish I wasn't turning this into a chorus so bad, you know. I wish I was just like setting boundaries and standing up for myself and leaving these situations, but instead I'm like, I might lose my songs, though, if I get into a happy relationship. What am I going to write about then?
You just write,
you know,
happy songs. Then.
What
that's
am I
going
to write about then?
One thing I got to know, it's a metaphorical gasoline fire, right? Because we don't want to destroy any of those tattoos, those lovely tattoos.
Oh, no.
Metaphorically.
Not metaphorically, you can donate your tattoos these days.
Really? No,
so
I didn't know that.
You can. Wow. And my best friend, as sinister as it is, has already asked for my right arm when I pass away. You can dehydrate this.
You put
this.
That in your will?
Yeah.
My right arm goes
to... Yeah, has to go to Emily.
Emily.
Has to. I'm going to donate a tattoo to everyone in my family. Everyone's going to get a creepy little box after I'm gone that's going to have this dehydrated little piece of paper that they will know is my skin, and you can put it on your wall.
You get one,
isn't
Beth?
That crazy?
Are you getting one?
Oh, Bev's getting
like,
one.
Like, I don't know.
Bev's getting one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bev's getting my butt tattooed.
Yeah, the south side, right?
Yes.
At the south.
She is. I have a little butterfly on my butt. It's my butt tattoo. Bev's getting it.
There you go. Who better? You know what? I'm going to have to take a little break. When we come back, we've got more songs and stories from Ellie Colleen. So good to have you here again.
This message comes from Capital One Commercial Bank. Your business requires commercial banking solutions that prioritize your long-term success. With Capital One, Get a full suite of financial products and services tailored to meet your needs today and goals for tomorrow. Learn more at CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
You're listening to The Songwriter Connection with Dave Linehan. Find us on Facebook and YouTube at The Songwriter Connection Podcast. And find Dave at thedaveconnection.com. Now back to the show with your host, Dave Linehan.
Allie Colleen is back with us, and it's so good to have you here as well around the dining room table. I wanted to remind you, if you're watching on and listening, it's actually nothing to watch except for the slide on YouTube, because we're all audio podcasts. But still, it helps if you hit like and the subscribe, because you know we're monetizing there now too, and it helps. You
yes.
know. Last count, we were like 2,500,000 streams worldwide. So thank you all for making
it's
that
amazing.
Happen. And wonderful people like you, Allie.
It's amazing.
People come to listen to you, you know? So that's good. And also the Spotify playlist, which is the songs, Songwriter Connection, the songs. Every Wednesday when we publish a new episode, a new contact for you to make with a cup of coffee in the morning, we add a couple of songs from that day's artist. So stream that, if you will. There's some great songs on there. We had, like, I always use this as an example. People will hear The House That Built Me, and they go, wow, did you write? No, that was Tom Douglas, but he was on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. You know, one of the things, that, this is what I thought you were getting into before you talked about the break. One of the things that Tom told me, it hit me so hard. He said, I have this little rat that jumps up on my piano, gets in my face, and goes, you can't do this. You are no good. How are you thinking that you could do this, you know? And some call it imposter syndrome. I don't know. I know that I struggle with it. And I'm chalking it up to the creative brain. Does that ever happen to you?
I think it's your brain trying to save yourself.
You think?
Know what I mean? I think we give the brain way too much credit, and the brain has one job, and it's to keep you alive.
Yeah.
It's not to keep you happy. It's not to create serotonin for you. You know what I mean? It's not like that's not its job. Its job is to keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you choose this route and you choose to be creative, I think you're putting the ego at an absolute imminent possible death. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing that's actually going to happen to you or your body, but
the ego,
I think, is honestly what drives the brain. And I think that when you make the decision to put yourself out there, your brain's like, brother, what if this goes horribly wrong? You know, why would we even do this when we could just not do it and 100% survive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's your brain trying to take care of yourself and trying to keep you alive. And again, I think we give it way too much credit.
Uh-huh.
You know, because life isn't about living tomorrow. It's about really enjoying today and creating experiences that prove that you lived. You know what I mean? It's not about a longevity thing. It's not about, okay, we got to make it to 86. Like, and I think that's what your brain wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to live every day.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be alive any longer if I'm not living.
Oh gosh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I don't think your brain cares about that. Your brain wants to keep your lungs functioning and that kind of thing, you know? So I think obviously as a primal state, that was really important for a long time. But there's so many people now that just don't live anymore for the sake of surviving. And that's just such a shame.
Yeah. All they do is work to survive. You know?
And I think our brain really wants to keep us creative people away from just that. Because it is. I think it is a really big risk. And I think it is flagged as danger to your brain. But the reward
I have never thought of it that way.
The reward is crazy.
Allie, the psychologist today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a degree in songwriting, everybody. Thank you so much. Dr. Allie Colleen over here.
If you think about it, songwriting does have that psychological thing to it. Like that song you did before the break, Embers.
Yeah.
That was really, that had to help you get all that out, right?
It did. It helped you get it out. It made it pretty. You know, it made something that seemed like heroic for living through, opposed to that shame that you have for holding on to something that's done nothing but tear you down, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it can create also a really beautiful space for other people because, you know, I think a lot can happen to me and I don't really care. But the moment that I see someone that I love going through something, you know, it's like, you deserve better than this. Like, what are you doing? You don't need to do this. And I don't think we always think about how detrimental the relationships that we have are. But if you start looking at yourself covered in gasoline and you ask yourself who's going to risk flicking a lighter around you, those people don't need to be around anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true.
And if the people around you would do anything other than cover you in water at that point in time, they got to go, you know? So I hope that the song validates this really beautiful, gross, dark place that we hold ourselves in. But I hope it also encourages them, like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Have you played that out yet?
A little bit.
In front of the live audience?
I've played it for a couple live audiences. We've been really, really lucky to have some like really big audiences lately that are partying. You know what I mean? When we love them. And so it's one of those songs where sometimes it'll silence the room, but sometimes I just get to connect for the first time in the whole show with these people right here, just right in front of me, right at my feet. And cause they're the only ones that can hear through the PA, a song that soft and that intimate, you know, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And the little personal channels that it's made in an audience has been really cool for me. That I can't say it's like silenced a bunch of rooms or dropped any pins yet, but it's created a lot of really cool little funnels for people where I'm like, I can see who else isn't covered in gasoline in here right now. And I got you.
And I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which Jelly Roll said that I got you. And he did. Didn't
yeah.
He? Yeah. I was listening to the old podcast today. Interesting stuff. I mean, really, really. And you point out another thing, going from a songwriter to a performer, right? I've never considered myself a performer, but lately I really enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
And if you're in a situation they're all partying, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that sadder song.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it means a lot to me right now. Yeah. Maybe I just keep the party going, do some of the upbeat stuff, you know?
Well, as a performer, there's a lot of stuff you can do beforehand. Like, the record thing earlier, we were talking about this bar called The Local here in town, you know, that we both spend time
at.
And I got a bartender friend that is also a fantastic songwriter herself, but her name's Annalisa, and she's a bartender at The Local.
Yeah.
And she's had a lot of kind of big traumas going on in her life in the last couple of years. And we were playing there one night, and it was a party night. You know, it was just like one of those late rounds of the freak show, and everybody was partying drunk. And I said, hey, you guys, you know, I've played this town long enough to know what songs really work and what songs don't, you know? And this next song doesn't work, you know? I said, this next song doesn't work. I said, this song is not for you guys. This song is for one of you. And so if you guys want to party, please do your thing. Don't let me, like, bring this moment down for you. Please don't feel like you need to be quiet for me. Do your thing. But I know that there's someone in this room who does need this song, and that's my job. I wasn't built for the masses. I was built for the one person in this room who isn't partying at The Local tonight. One person who's surviving at The Local tonight is going
to
be for this song. You know, when you play it and when you set it up like that, it's a gimmick a little bit. You know what I mean? Now all of a sudden people are like, well, I want to listen now and like see what we all don't want to hear. Like, what is it? But you also get that one person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And so I think your audience is, my show is only as good as your audience is, and you need to listen to them and you need to understand what they want, because they came there to party and they came there for you and they came there to escape from their world, not have you push your narratives on them.
Yeah.
But I think you get to pick two or three songs in that 60-90 minute set where you're like, this is for a couple of you.
Yeah.
And I've never done that in a show ever and not had at least two or three people come up to the merch table and go, I'm your person. I'm your one person. Like, thank you for doing that.
And you're sincere, you know, sincerity. I think that's why you make such a connection with your audience, because you are sincere. And when you said that, if I was at a show, I'd stop and I'd want to hear it, because it's something personal. If it touches one person, I bet you it touches a lot more.
Yeah.
Like you say, when they come up to you afterwards, you know, they may say something like, man, I didn't know I needed that right now.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that payday?
It's dude, I take it straight to the bank. You know what I mean? Like, it's so good and it's so kind and it's so rewarding too, because you do, similar to what Tom Douglas, you know, said, my mouse just tells me I'm psychotic all the time.
Really?
You know what I mean? Like, just absolutely crazy. Like, one, no one relates to this stuff. And two, like, this isn't stopping the glamorize. And then you put it out there anyway, and there's little girls out there that need it. You know what I mean? And all these things.
It's so crazy, like, after all.
Ooh, it's so cool. And I just got a scared little mouse in my life. That's all it is.
You know, you really connect too with these kids. You love them. And they come up to you and they, like, on your last year, you talked about how one put a tattoo on your face.
Yes. And, I did. The one little boy on the Jelly Tour, because I put little horseshoes on every girl's face. But there was a little boy named Carter who already had jelly tattoos all over his face. And he put a big C on mine. I said, thanks, brother.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With a Sharpie. He didn't have eyeliner. He didn't have any eyeliner on that day, I guess. He just had a Sharpie. I said, go ahead, brother.
So you wore that for a while. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Any new kid stories from your shows?
Those are
awesome.
We've had this thing, you know, go on. And it started a couple of years back, but I feel like it happens more and more at shows now. We have this big, beautiful song called Wildflower.
Yep.
And it's just all about, you know, this little memory I have as a kid of my mom being like, hey, like, maybe you're not supposed to be a rose, babe. Like, maybe you're a wildflower. Like, maybe you're not supposed to fit in with all the other flowers. Like, maybe you're, you know, I think she was telling me I was a weed in like a really nice way, you know what I mean? But I romanticized the hell out of it.
Yes, you did.
And I turned it into Wildflower, you know what I mean? And now the very end of the song ends on kind of this little a cappella Wildflower. And now little babies take that Wildflower. Mm. So they kind of come up to the stage and I notice them. I kind of know what they're doing. And I'm like, you know it? And they're like, yeah. And I give them the mic for the last Wildflower.
Oh,
and
I how cool.
It's not cute. Allergies I have snot again. Running down yeah. my face. Ugly I can't cryer. Breathe. Yeah. It's awful. I scare the kid every time. But oh my gosh.
Unbelievable.
And I think these kids think I'm doing something for them. I don't care about you. You're doing something for little Allie. You know what I mean? Like, these kids are doing something for me, and it just changes my whole world, and it's so awesome. And I think people think I'm so nice and so kind and so selfless, and I'm out here just doing everything for little Allie. You know what I mean? Like, and these kids don't know what they're bringing me, and it's the coolest thing on the
planet.
That's
one thing that stuck in my head.
Now, if you got sticky fingers, don't touch me.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay? I love kids until you got sticky fingers or something, right. you keep that to yourself.
Yeah, you said this on the last podcast, and it really touched me heart. You said, you know, you are here. I'm not here for you. You are here for me. I get more from this than
do.
You are getting.
I
don't
get
you?
So much more from the audience, yeah. than I think they'll.
And
ever
that's not
get
a
from
selfish
me.
Thing at all. That's yeah. just, you know, it's what you do, what you live mm-hmm. for, huh? Yeah.
My favorite artist on the planet, you know, always said, you know, he plays these big shows and has an audience that always comes and sings the songs louder than, you know, they do kind of thing. And it's always been like, you guys have no idea how far we travel to hear you sing.
Mm.
And I've always thought that was the coolest thing on the planet. Isn't and I'm like, so you guys have no idea. Like, you think we're coming to the shows like to bring you a show or something. I'm just going to different places to hear people sing my stuff, awesome. You know? And like, what a blessing.
That
like,
is a blessing.
It's so cool.
Hear them singing it back. It's just a... Gotta be chilling, bone chilling.
I sing it better than me. It pisses me off every time. I'm like, you guys sound so good. I love it. I love it so. So if you've ever sang along to my stuff, even in your car by yourself and I'm not there, I hear you and it makes my world.
That's awesome. Allie, I love that. How about another one, huh? You think you can just another one?
I think, yeah, maybe but I'm going to pull it out of nowhere, okay? I'm just going
like
to play
that.
You. We're right in the middle of May, you guys. So we've got this song coming out pretty soon. You know, I don't have a lot of love, like romantic love inspiring my life these days. I've got just absolutely fallen in love with my best friends and myself and my animals and that kind of stuff. So I don't have a lot to pull from in like the love song world. But if I did, it would be because me and some random person drank too much one night and that was all we had. You know what I mean? So here's a little one night. Kind of love song, little beach vibe love song. I love it so much.
Oh, I need a beach vibe right now. I do.
The production of it is so cool, you guys. I always reference this movie when I think of 2002 music, and I feel like everyone always thinks it's weird, but if you know what I'm talking about, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I feel like this song belonged on a freaking American Pie movie in 2002. It just had, like, as crude as those movies were, they had the coolest nostalgic soundtracks to what the early 2000s were for kind of, like, alternative, like, soft punk music.
Mm-hmm.
And so this thing has the coolest little vibe to it, but it's called All I Want, and it's so sweet, and I hope to see you guys at a show this summer singing along with me because I love it so much. So here's just a little micro moment.
By the way, they can find out where you are by checking your website, right?
Yes, AllieColleenMusic.com. Someone else owns AllieColleen.com, and they want me to buy it. So go to AllieColleenMusic.com.
Okay,
and,
there you go.
Check out our tour tab, you guys. We keep it updated year-round, and just come see us. I would really love it. But this is a new one in our set, and a new one out to you guys. And it goes a little like this. Thinking, let's just keep drinking till we let tipsy do what it does. We'll tip the DJ to spend the weekend and old Keith Whitley till the sun's coming up. If all this is a slow burn summer. If all this is one night chasing love. If all this is Santa running out. It's all I want, it's all I want. If all this is a feeling no miss for the rest of my life. If all this is all we got. It's all I want, it's all I want. Tan lines, my
waves on the shoreline crashing on us. We'll find the green hand man, talk him down to 15. Find us a Coke can and light it up, light it up. If all this is a slow burn summer, if all this is one night chasing love, if all this is all we got, it's all I want, it's all I want. If all this is a feeling I'll miss for the rest of my life, if all this is sin running out, it's all I want, it's all I want. It's all I want, it's all I want. And if love ain't in the stars, we ain't written in the cards. If it's what it is, then what it is ours. If all this is a slow burn summer, if all this is one night chasing love, if all this is all we got, it's all I want, it's all I want. If all this is a feeling I'll miss for the rest of my life, if all this is sin running out, it's all I want, it's all I want. It's all I want, it's all I want.
Wow. You don't ask for much, do you? No. Great song. So what I love about the podcast the most is the live songs around the dining room table, and it's especially special when Ali Colleen is here visiting us again. You know, you are welcome anytime. I've watched you grow as not only an artist, but a songwriter, too.
Yeah.
And you've come a long way, baby.
I have.
More than just the new classes and the new look, right? Yes. Are there songs today that you have written and are writing that you couldn't have a year or two ago?
Yeah, I think honestly, most of the songs that we've came out with probably since Halos and Horns have continued to surprise me, because I think for the longest time, you know, it just doesn't always feel natural or impressive to do what you're the most good at. You know what I mean? Because like it comes to you so naturally. So you just don't think, surely this isn't what's going to impress everybody kind of thing. And I feel like I worked for a really long time, especially coming into Nashville and having so many different people, you know, have their way of writing and me watching and like me seeing what was successful and what was working. And everything I've wanted to do in music has never been something that I've seen be represented. So I thought it didn't work, you know?
Wow.
And now I'm just like, brother, this is, Allie, like, this is what you were supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to make this music something cool.
You saw the
that
hole
someone
and you
else
filled
does.
It.
You know what I mean? And I think since there was a hole, I thought that nobody liked it.
Mm.
You know? But just because someone hasn't done it yet doesn't mean that people aren't going to like it, you know, kind of thing. And
exactly.
I grew up in pastor parties in the middle of fields where we listened to Nickelback, and then you got too drunk, and then you listened to Alison Krauss. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't listen to any of the traditional country stuff until you were too far into the beer, and you're like, now we want to cry, you guys. Let's listen to it. But up till then, we were listening to freaking Paramore and 3 Days Grace and Nickelback and all these things, and that was where my enjoyment of music came from, was the alternative music stuff. So I think it's really cool now to think that there's maybe a little 14-year-old drunk in a pasture somewhere that wants to listen to Ali Colleen music. And you better be being safe, buddy, too. Jesus Christ. We did stupid stuff back then. I don't condone it. But if you be doing it, I hope you're listening to some Ali Colleen while you're doing it.
Yes. And be safe.
Yes. Yeah. Be safe.
Any lines that you've recently written that you feel is the new Ali?
So I can't take credit for this one. I just got to finish this song called Bucket, like F it, but Bucket, for the rodeo world.
Right.
And it lands on, you know, when that world's on your when the world's on your back, grab your cowboy hat and say Bucket. And, you know, it's super cool. And I wrote it with a bunch of friends of mine. And my friend Cade is on it, and he's the track guy on it as well. And his name's Cade Anderson, and he's in a a group with us kind of thing. And he, one of the lines in it is, I just checked my boot and it's the spur of the moment. And I thought, that's the coolest thing I've ever been able to represent in my life. That's, I wish, cool, I came line up with it so bad.
So clever.
Yeah. But that's a really cool one on bucket. But I brought bucket into the right, and just using bucket as effort is like my favorite thing on the planet. And I feel like there's nothing more alley right now than freaking bucket, dude.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear it. Could you play? Is that when you could play?
I can't play it at all on guitar. No, I can't. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you. As soon as we're off this thing, though, I'll drop a WAV file to you right now, brother, and you can listen to it, because I think it's the coolest thing on the planet.
I love it.
But we do, to tease Bucket, you guys, my favorite thing about Bucket is I love the rodeo world so much. And, you know, everybody, for the most part, whether you know rodeo or not, you know about Lane Frost. And you know that Lane Frost passed away, you know, in the ring, in the arena, to his bull. And it was really graphic and it was really violent. I think, you know, I don't know how many times a bull's, you know, kind of drove its horns through a man's chest before, like, and for the audience to see. And it was just, it was a really hard time for the entire rodeo world.
Yeah.
So that bull, the bull's name was Taking Care of Business.
Wow.
This is my biggest question in rodeo, because obviously if a pit bull bites somebody, it's out. It doesn't even have a chance. You know what I mean? We euthanize that dog and, like, right, it's over with. So I don't know how you can keep competing as a bull when you did that to Lane Frost, but you could still draw Taking Care of Business after Lane Frost passed away.
You still could?
Yes. And so, if I understand right, now Tuff Heedman might have made this decision to pull that bull himself, like maybe they pulled him out just to ride him, but all this to say, less than a year after Lane Frost had passed away, this amazing bull rider named Tuff Heedman pulled Taking Care of Business. And he rode him for a 16-second ride.
Whoa.
He rode him for 8 seconds, and once he heard the bell ride off, he threw his hat and he held on for Lane, and he rode it for another 8 second ride in honor of Lane.
Something.
That's the craziest thing that I've ever heard of in my life.
Never heard that.
So the chorus of Bucket is Taking Care of Business for more than 8 seconds. And it just sounds like you're just partying for more than 8 seconds. You know what I mean? But it's like one of the coolest, like, omens that we could throw out to respect not only Tuff Heedman's ride, but Lane Frost's legacy. JB Mooney is this really, really, you know, known bull rider that had his back broken by his bull. And he wasn't ever supposed to walk again. And when JB Mooney had finished PT and he could walk again, he went to the auction and he bought his bull that broke his back.
Did he really?
And they go on morning walks together every morning. It's on Instagram. It's the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. So JB Mooney's in the song, and it's like, JB Mooney, keep one hand on it, because I don't think people understand how much these riders care about these animals. You know what I mean? Like, these bulls have freaking chiropractors. Like, if you have $1 million piece of equipment, you're going to make sure that it works.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So that, and then Jordan Halverson is the first female bull rider full-time, like 4-time world champion female bull rider.
Fantastic.
And so there, she's also in the song kind of thing. And so Bucket is like one of the coolest party songs I've ever made. It's like very alternative. It's very fun, but I don't know if people are going to understand how much of it shouts out the rodeo community and like how much goes into it. And I would love to, when we get done today, I would love to have you listen to it. But you guys are going to have to go to the socials, check it out. We're pushing it all summer.
Great.
It's going to come out around my birthday. So we're pushing it all summer. We're trying to get it to Rodeo Market. If you guys do anything in rodeo, if you go to county rodeos, whatever it is, please just send them the song, man. If I could see a rider ride out to Bucket, I would lose my mind.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
That would be the craziest thing. I'm trying to talk Jordan into it, but
PBR is... is commenting on it now, so you never know.
I know. I'm really, really trying to get it. We are manifesting. We're manifesting it right now.
Right now.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's happening.
Yes.
It's already happening.
Congratulations, everybody. It's already happening.
When's your birthday? We'll put it in the calendar.
My birthday is July 28th. I will be 30 this year, you guys.
Oh, no way.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
30, flirty, and thriving.
Oh, there you go.
I'm so excited.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very cool.
Yes.
How about you take us off with one more? Can you do that?
I would love to. I have no idea. Do you have any requests? Do you have anything you care about?
Oh, gosh. You know, you know what? Would you do the Wildflower song?
I would love to do Wildflower.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a single out right now called Wildflowers.
Really?
It's a duet.
Oh, stunning.
But I want to hear yours again.
Of course.
And I swear to God, it wasn't based on yours.
No. There's a lot of them out there. I actually just had the conversation today. Shout out to Ella Langley. I had the conversation today. I'm like, is Dandelion cooler than Wildflowers? Because I think she did a cooler job than I did. I think she just came out. She's got Dandelion out, and I think it's so freaking cool.
That is cool.
This is my wildflowers, you guys. It goes out to anyone out there who just maybe doesn't always fit in with the roses kind of thing. So it goes like this.
Yeah.
Well, I remember it like a storybook. every page the way my mama looked. Dirty knees and that sun had smile. Off the bus, trouble on my mind. The kids were never much a friend of mine. Mama's words made it all alright. She said you were never meant to fit in with the roses in a bouquet. It's okay, girl, to stand out in the sunlight. Soak up the rain, feed your sweet soul, grow, baby, grow, wildflower. I wanna be known as beautiful. I don't mean I'm gonna sell my soul, paint my leaves just how they lie. On the road and I'm missing home. The city's loud and the lights are cold. The kind of place a wildflower don't belong. 'Cause I was never meant to fit with the roses and a bouquet. It's okay, girl, to stand out in the sunlight and soak up the rain. Feed your sweet soul, grow, baby, grow, wildflower. The world pulls at your petals, don't you dare let them make you feel not good enough. 'Cause you were never meant to fit in with the roses and an old vase on a window pane. You can't feel the sun, you can't feel the rain. It's time to go where the wind blows wildflowers. Sweet soul, grow, baby, grow, wildflower.
Always loved that line, grow, baby, grow. Amazing.
Thank
Bev, you've
so
watched
much.
Her grow so much over the years, haven't you?
I know.
Yeah, me too. And you know, when I watch you sing, Allie, it's like music takes you to a different place, does it?
I love it so much.
You just...
I've been, you know, trying to write songs since I was 8 years old. I've been playing guitar since I was 14. And I've just, I try and explain this every show. It's like, if you guys weren't here, you know, as much as I really need the ticket sales and I really need you guys sometimes to make me feel good, and you're only as good as your audience, soundcheck is my favorite
is it really?
Part of the whole show.
Why is that?
Going into a new room for the first time,
yeah,
and getting to hear what it sounds like when there's no one in it, and getting to hear how the room gets to hear music. And getting to hear how the room was made to hear music, whether it was or not, even if it's like a little can, like a little bar that was not made for sound. Like, I think I romanticize everything so much. And I just think that rooms matter and they mean something. And I think what happens when no one's there is just as important as what happens when everyone is there. And when Allie gets to sing in that room for the first time, it's like, just like I shared her bedroom with both of my siblings growing up my whole life. So my place to play was my little walk-in closet. That's where I would go play. I'd go sit in my closet and I would play music all day because I drove my sisters crazy. And it kind of, every room takes me back to that closet a little bit, and it's my favorite part. And so I'm gone. If I'm singing, I'm not in here with you anymore. I'm out. I'm somewhere else.
Do your sisters do anything with music?
No, not at all.
Nothing?
Nope. No. I got two older siblings, and they're both fantastic at what they do, but not a musical bone in their bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't hold that against them.
No.
They're happy.
I'm so glad. I can't imagine. I want to say that I'd be like the kid that was like such a good like family band, but like...
Yeah.
I don't think I would. I think I would think I was competing against my siblings. I'm honestly so selfishly sad that they're so good at what they do and they have no interest in doing music, because this is my thing. That's mine.
It's a thing you do well. Allie, thank you again.
Of course. I can't wait for the next time.
It just gets busier and busier for you. And the fact that you make a little time for me, I really appreciate it.
Honored to. So happy to be back.
We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
All right. Right on, folks.
That's a wrap from the dining room table. Thanks for joining the conversation and chasing the music with us. From Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Songwriter Connection, the award-winning elite music podcast of the year, connecting the songs and the people who write them.
This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.